going to preach for a little bit. I'm going to preach quickly. So I hope you are ready to listen quickly. Amen? I want to talk about God and His and what He does. And what He does is He changes our lives. So I've got three quick points. They're simple points. I'll probably not say anything that for most of you, you haven't heard before. But I think it will be very helpful today as we have seen testimonies of lives that have been changed. And as we can relate. And our circumstances aren't all the same, but they are all the same in that God has changed our lives. And so let me just go over these points quickly. I believe it'll be a help. God changes our lives, and God changes people because, number one, because people need to be changed. You remember before you came into the family of God? Do you remember how you acted? Do you remember how you thought? Do you remember your anger? And do you remember your complacency? Do you remember how jacked up you were? Does somebody remember? How ugly you were? You know what I mean? How much you drank, or how much you smoked, or how much you know what, sexed up, or whatever you did to try to numb the pain? It's kind of ironic because the whole time Jesus is there saying, I love you. I'm the only one who can fix you. You know, people are funny, you know what? Because, I mean, praise God, there's so many people in the, man, first and second service, so full, thank God. Keep on inviting your friends to a great church that will come preach the word of God every Sunday and every Wednesday. But many people, they don't know Christ yet. They're out there, and they're not paying attention. And thank God that you were paying attention. Thank God that you heard the voice of the Lord. But you know what you need to come? You need to come to yourself and recognize, I'm messed up. I need help. You know, you can't fix anything until you recognize you're broken. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? And so you're walking around and you're, you know what, like you say, the first service, you know, some people, you know, they're you know, they got a problem. You know what I mean? Whatever the problem is. And Jesus is the answer to the problem. You know what I mean? Maybe they smoke dope, or maybe they drink, or maybe they're just mad. Maybe they're depressed. A lot of people depressed. All these things they got going on. And Jesus has the answer. But you have to go to Jesus to find the answer. You know why he changes people? Because people are messed up. People need a savior. They have sin in their life. You know what? And really, the truth is, as I listen, guys, please, everybody listen to this, but listen to what I'm saying. Trip out on the plan that Satan has. God. The Israelites had a lot of enemies, but one of their enemies, God just got so angry with them, and here's why. Because instead of attacking from the front where the men were, they ran around back and they attacked them behind and killing women and children. When I look at you know what, my struggle with lust, you know what, when I analyze it, and it trips me out because I trip out how early Satan was throwing those seeds that would eventually take root. And but he doesn't tell you that. Hello? He says, no, it's your fault. Well, to some extent, you know whose fault it is? It was Adam and Eve's fault. Hello? Right? And so you were born into this. But God is the Redeemer. And understand, or let me tell you why God changes lives. Because people need to be changed. And until you come to yourself and recognize, that's what the Prodigal Son did. Thank you. He came to himself. Because as long as you're like
this is a good life. You know what I mean? And you're lying to yourself and you're deceiving yourself. And no matter what it is, you know what? And the world will tell you, no, that's cool. That's cool. That's good. That satisfies. But down inside, you know, that doesn't satisfy. You can't get high enough. You can't get drunk enough. You can't have enough sex. You can't be angry enough. You can't get, you know what, just depressed enough. These are all deceptions. And God says, no, let me tell you what you need. You need a Savior. And so I'm going to send my son Jesus, and I'm going to put all our sin on him. That's how much God loves us. And he's going to die for your sin, that you don't have to die. But you have to recognize you need help. God changes people because people need to be changed. My first point. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. You know, how many sinned in your life? Raise your hand if you sinned in your life. You know, some of you only have one hand up. You need to have two hands up in your foot. Right? Right? Well, get your foot up, all your fingers. You know what I mean? You're like, ah, you know. Well, praise God, that's a good point to be. The problem, why are they out there? They're out there, and I'll get to the solution in a minute. Why are they out there? Because they think they're fine. That's the issue. They think they're fine. They're not fine. God changes people's lives because people's lives need to be changed. Number two, God changes people because everyone needs to be changed. Pastor, wasn't that your first point? Like, are you having problems coming up with stuff? Because it seems like your second point was the same as your first point. You know what I mean? No. I catch that. But no, it's not exactly the same. Here's what I want you to catch. Because everyone needs to be changed. Everybody say everyone.
Everyone.
Now, what do I mean by that? Here's what I mean. I mean, if you've already accepted Christ in your heart, if you've already come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, if you've already made him your Lord, if you're already in the family of God, if you're not, get in the family of God. Pastor, how do I get in the family of God? You simply say this, Father, I need help. Come in my life. Jesus, I love you. Fix me. No, I think you're supposed to say, but I repent of my sin. Okay, say that. I mean, like there's some perfect way to say it. All you have to do is just say, God, I need help. Come in my life. Fix me. Amen. However you say it, the wording, it's really doesn't make any difference. You just have to. I heard it again and again. You just have to recognize you need help. But if you've already done that, so Pastor, I've already done that. Praise God. You know what? But everyone needs help. Everyone needs to be changed. Yeah, but God has already come. I understand that. So praise God, you don't smoke dope anymore. And praise God, you don't drink anymore. You know what I mean? Praise God, you don't cuss anymore. But you know what? How do you treat your wife? You know what I mean? Did you go to the mall? And you think you're in the ping pong match? You know what I mean? What are you talking about, ping pong match? You know what we're talking about. Ooh. Yeah, no ping pong match. Knock it off. Knock it off. She doesn't, you know what? She doesn't deserve that. She deserves that you'd be loyal to her, even if she's not around. Amen? Even if you go to the mall. Come on, somebody say amen louder than this. See? You know what I mean? I'm just saying. And I'm just asking, who in this room, who here doesn't need help? Who in the, yeah, but I accepted Jesus. Thank God you accepted Jesus. You still need help. That's my point by everyone. No, you know, I already came to the family of God. Praise God you came to the family of God. Praise God you don't smoke dope anymore. Praise God. Amen. But what do you need help in? What does God still want to change in your life? Because I guarantee if you say, God, show me what I need to still work on in my life. I guarantee you God will be there with the question, the answer right there. You know why we don't do this? Here's what we do. We do this comparison thing. So I sit there, you know, I come to church. I say, okay, well, praise God. You know, I don't smoke dope anymore. Thank you, Jesus. You know what I mean? And I think I'm okay. Because here's what I'm going to do. I'm gonna compare myself to all you. And certainly there's someone in this room that is worse than me. No, I get no amens out of that one. No, surely, surely. You know, Pastor George, surely there's someone here worse than me. And so what do? I'm going to compare myself with that someone that's worse than me. And by comparing myself with somebody who's worse than me, then I feel I'm good. And when I'm saying I'm good, then I can't hear. And God says, no, listen, I love you, but I'm still working on you. I still have things that I need to speak to you. I still have changes that I need to make in your life. Why is God changing people? Because number one, people need to be changed. Number two, everyone needs to be changed. Everyone needs to be changed. What is the area that God's working on in your life? I don't know. Here's what I'm saying. If you don't come into it with a mentality of, man, I need to continue to grow. I need to continue to develop. I need to continue to look at and see where there's areas in my life that God wants to work on. If you don't come to it, you know what God hates probably more than anything else? You know what he hates more than anything else? Pornography? Nope. He hates pornography because pornography hurts people. Hurts people. He hates it. Drugs? Hates drugs. Why? Because drugs hurt people. But you know what he hates more than anything else? Self-righteousness. Look, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. That's where you'll see the righteous indignation of God coming out of people who are self-righteous. I don't need any help. You know, and praise God that you're in the family of God, but if you think you don't need any help, you need to revert back to point two. Because you need help. And I need help. And God wants to take us from glory to glory, from faith to faith. He wants to take you from one place to a higher place. Are you learning something today? Number one, God changes people because people need to be changed. Number two, because everyone needs to be changed. Say, I need to be changed today. Everybody say, I need to be changed today. Okay, let's soak in for a little bit. Think about this last week. What did you say that was hurtful? I think Tamara's going to talk about that in a little bit. Did you say things, you know what? Did you say things harshly to people? And then when the Holy Spirit convicted you of saying things harshly, you just said this. Well, you know what? Let me tell you why I did that. I did that because they parked their car wrong. Listen, you can park your car wrong. You still have no business. The Bible says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but that which is edifying for the hearer. Somebody say, I need to be changed today. Okay, think about your last week. I'm going to give you 30 seconds, okay? Think about your last week. Think about your last week, not comparing yourself to somebody else. Think about how you talk to your spouse. Think about how you talk to your kids. Think about how you talk to your boss. Yeah, but my boss, see, you know what? My boss parked the car wrong. See, you justify how you speak or what you don't say anything. Well, how do you think about your boss? The only reason you didn't say it is because you didn't want to get fired. No, what? Really? Say, I need to be changed today. Let the words of your mouth and the meditations of your heart be holy and acceptable in your sight, O God, my Redeemer. Number one, God changes people because they need to be changed. Number two, because everyone needs to be changed. Even if you've been saved, you need to be changed still. And number three, and I'll close with this. I told you I won't be long, but I believe this will be very helpful. Number three, because others need you to be changed. You know how jacked up the world is? They're on drugs, they're angry, they're lustful, they're far away from God. You know what? You talk about church and they act like, you know what, you're a crazy person. They think religious people are nuts.
they think religious people are nuts. Let me let that soak in. They think religious people are nuts. They need to see Jesus in you. Why is God changing you? Here's why. Because he loves them. You know, your stories intrigue me on so many levels. When you spoke, one of the ways you were speaking, I thought, wow, I'd love to get a hold of your adopted parents and thank them. And others, you know what, I forgot the connection exactly, but I was listening. I heard there was someone who is maybe not perfect, but they looked a little bit like Jesus, and they acted like Jesus. See, why is God changing you? He's changing you because he loves them. What do you think? What do you think? You think they you know what, like, remember that scene in Evan Almighty? You know what I mean? And he keeps on getting that Genesis, whatever it is. Remember this, guys? And then he says to his wife, "Hey, do we got a Bible?" People don't read Bibles. I mean, people say they pray, but you know what? I mean, most people at Home Depot, do you think they, I'm just asking, if they were to tell the truth, but if you ask someone, when's the last time you read the Bible over in Home Depot? If you had 100 people, I don't know what they'd say, but you know what the truth is? They're not reading the Bible. They don't read something in Ephesians and go, "Whoa, this is so awesome." Whoa. They're not reading the Bible. That's why God is changing you, because he's put them at your work. And they need to see here. Show me the Matthew 5:16. Look at this. Jesus said this. "Let your light so shine before men." It's in your workplace. It's in your home. It's in your job. It's at the bank. It's people. God's put these people all around you. And he's changing you and perfecting you, that you would start to look like Jesus, that they would look at you and go, "Man, there's something going on." Watch this. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your," what? Not see the bumper sticker on your car. You know what? Not that they see your T-shirt. You know what I mean? "Can't wait for Sunday." You know, and listen. And if you have those shirts, great. I got those shirts. I wear them all the time. Praise God for it. If you got your bumper stickers, thank God for it. Whatever you got to do, that's all fine. I'm just not saying that. What I'm saying is, let me tell you what's going to change. Let me tell you what's really going to speak to them. Isn't the shirt you wear, it's the life that you live. I was at one of my favorite stories. I was taking the kids. All my kids were little then. I loved to go to Magic Mountain. We'd go to Magic Mountain. Would ride all the rides. All the crazy rides. You know what? I'd go on them with. Loved it. And then for whatever reason, we went on this maybe a little ride. It was called the Gold Rush. It was less crazy, but you know what I mean. Whatever. So we got on that ride, and the whole time, I'm holding my cell phone. I'm holding it like, I got it. I'm not gonna lose my cell phone on this ride. But when it got on the Gold Rush, I lowered my, you know, and it's like, it's not going crazy, you know what I mean? So I was just, you know, I had it, but you know what? And it's the end of the ride. We're already done. It's the very end, and it's, for whatever reason, these guys, I think they hated cell phones or for some reason, I'm not sure. But this one ride at the end, it goes like this, and it had this little, just a little dippity-doo, you know what I mean? And I had my phone, and it was like, because I was thinking about, oh, you're not going to lose your phone, you're not going to lose your, but on this ride, and it was like slow motion, you know what I mean? And it went like that, and my phone was just like, "Hello." It's cool. Okay. But here, I tell this story, because here's what I said. You know what I said? I said, "Oh, shoot." Okay. That's what I said. I said, "Shoot."
Why is this significant? Here's why. Because on the way home, my son Tyler, he was maybe 8 years old or 9 years old. We're going home, and let me tell you the end of the story first. I said, hey, I saw where it went. I can go get it, no problem. You know, let me just jump that fence and get it. They're like, you ain't jumping that fence. You have to wait till the end of the night, and then we'll have somebody, because the roller coaster, they can't be going, and then we'll, you know, have somebody. Well, I'm thinking at the end of the night, I was praying that I had enough juice that I could call it so somebody could find it. Praise God, had enough juice, called it, found it, got my phone back. Yay! We're going home. I'm like, yay! But here's why I tell that story. Because on the way home, my son says, we were talking about how I lost my phone and how silly that was. And he said, yeah, that phone went out of your hands and you said, shoot. And it was like the Holy Spirit said, aren't you glad you didn't say something else? See, can I tell you what? That ministered to my son. Ministered to me. My son grew up with a father who didn't say stuff. He had that testimony. Go, guys, keep up that scripture up. He had, you know what? He was able to glorify God, you know what, as he saw my good works. You know what? Not a perfect father by any stretch of the means, but a father who loved God, who was constantly working on things that the Holy Spirit told him that I could work on me and be a witness that other people, including my son, could glorify the Father in heaven. See, why did God get you in the kingdom of God? Because he loved you. But it's not just about you. It's about you connecting with other people. Is this making sense to anyone? And that's why we have to continue to work on ourselves. Because God is working on us. Why? Because he wants to get those people out there. And the more we look like Jesus, the more they'll see Jesus in our actions. And they'll come to God. And it's a crazy thing, but it's a crazy cool thing. And people that you think, you know what, they're not watching. They're watching you. And they're looking at you. What, you don't think they see you driving to church every Sunday? You know what? They see you driving to church on Sunday. They know what's going on. But when you start acting like Jesus, that's when we start to be effective in their life. Amen. Did you learn something?
It's interesting because I heard it in your testimonies as well, but I also know it to be true. Is it Alyssa? Am I saying it right? As Alyssa began to speak, the Holy Spirit just began to minister to me some things about my sister. And it's interesting. All the testimonies, like she kept saying, oh, because God didn't love me, God didn't love me. You know what the truth is? She didn't love her. God loved her all along, but she didn't love her. Well, why didn't she love herself? Predominantly because of people around her convinced her she wasn't worth loving. People are so, listen, and then you know what else we heard in the testimonies? We heard about the people who made her feel, and them, all of you, you know, that have testified. Some of you missed the morning service, but you can catch it on Facebook. You missed the people around them that made them feel pain and made them feel shame and made them feel worthless. But then there's the people, same thing, same commodity, right? The people who then made them feel loved and the people who made them feel worthy. And all it is what it comes down to every day for you and me. There's people out there who are at some stage of becoming more like Jesus wherever they are. And then there's people out there who have either rejected Jesus, don't know anything about Jesus and could care less about Jesus. That group of people brings a lot of sorrow and pain. And this other group of people brings a lot of hope and love. But it's all people. Jesus said, choose ye this day whom you're going to serve. Listen, if you're not for me, you're against me. There's only two choices. We've talked about this before. There's Christ or there's Antichrist. And there's no middle road of in between. Because, see, if you're not for him, what did he say? You're automatically against him. You're automatically, by default, you're in this group. And you will act like this group to some degree because it's in your nature. It's in your nature to be selfish. It's in your nature to be greedy. It's in your nature to be mean. It's only through him that we start to work on all that flesh and we become like him, which is awesome. My sister, and gosh, I think back, so many of you never met her. A few of you did. Dawn, my sister, was the coolest sister. Was she not cool? I mean, if you knew her as a person, go, wow, she's, what an awesome person she was. She didn't think that. And she didn't think that because she married one of those people who just tore her apart. And it sucks. Did not have her. Remember what we talked about last week? She ended up getting breast cancer, and some of you know that, some of you don't, and then it metastasized to her brain, and she's with the Lord now. But remember we talked about last week? You know what causes breast cancer? Remember that doctor that was sharing with me and whatever? Betrayal and shame, or like at the base of what they're finding in all these studies. And it's, what a shame, because it didn't need to be. She's a cool person. My father, many of you never met him. It grieves me sometimes as I know you. I go, oh, my dad would have loved, like Joel, all the time. I think, man, if my dad could have met Joel, they just would have loved each other. But my father, same thing. What a neat person. My dad, what a man, amen? What a man. What a cool, cool person. And yet, growing up in his life, it's a miracle that my dad was as awesome as he was. You know that, Fred? He grew up in an incredibly abusive home. I mean, it's a miracle he's alive. He used to be kicked down the stairs, beat with boards with nails in it. I mean, just crazy. Told that he was worthless and just crazy. Why? Why? Well, it all started out. He was left for dead in a home for 2 days as a newborn. The neighbor found him because the neighbor had been left with his sister who was five. The wife was running and leaving his mom because the dad was so abusive. She took the kids to the neighbor. The neighbor said, I'll take the five-year-old, but I'm not taking care of an infant. So what, you know what the mom did? She just left him in the house, locked up, to die. They found him just like at death's door, barely, only because his sister was next door. And the neighbor was like, hello, take the kid back. Hello, got your kid. Come take this kid. And she heard the baby. So a lot of hurt, a lot of pain, a lot of junk. And why my dad, I mean, why my, if you look statistically, my dad should have been you know what I mean, a mess for me. But that's not how it was. He was cool. He was awesome. I was saying in the first service, so much and that drives people to whatever their outlet is pain and sorrow. But Isaiah 53:4 says that surely he took our pain and he bore our sorrow. Surely he did. So all this mess is out there, from the mess in my life to the mess in their life to the mess in your life, is there. There's those people, and then there's those people. And we need to, what I hear the Spirit of God saying from the moment in prayer this morning, as prayer was ending, we need to be not, see, many of us, we're these people. But how effective are we as these people? Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. As the Lord began to minister to me right after morning prayer, that we really need to be people who are better at thinking before we speak. That we would, I said in the morning service, we're going to do like an acronym on think. Let's back that up with the Word of God, amen? Be slow to speak, the Bible says. A soft word will turn away wrath, the Bible says. You'll be held accountable for every word that you speak, the Bible says. Life and death is in the power of your tongue, the Bible says. God takes this seriously. We're created in his image. Is that not what the word tells us? We are his sons and daughters. How did God create things? With his words. And he understands that power has been given to us. We have that same power. That we can either bring life to situations or we can bring death to situations. Since I was little, I really didn't like school very much, but you know the main reason why I didn't like school? And I'm like back in the day. I don't even want to think about today. It's a whole nother world out there. I'm sorry, we didn't have bullying, internet, jazz, all that going on when I was growing up. I'm 53 years old. All I had was just typical school. And I could not stand school, mainly because I couldn't stand how mean the kids were. It just grieved me from early on. I couldn't stand it. I don't like mean people. I really don't. I could see the destruction of their mouths, right? You know what I mean? Just very, very hurtful. Many of you have heard Pastor Drew testify early on that as he was just starting Bible college, he's just kind of moving towards hearing in obeying God's voice. God called him, informed him, the Bible tells us, in his mother's womb. That he had a plan and a purpose and a good plan for him. That's what God did. He's much older when he begins to start to walk that out and begin to start to obey God and cooperate with the Spirit of God in his life. One of the people, as he began to just serve up this way where God had called him, began to just always, every time he'd see him, he'd tell him, hey, now there's a man of God. I think you testified initially, you would kind of look around like, you talking to me? Because he wasn't walking out, you know, a strong, you know what, man of God life. And yet this person just pulled him towards God with his words, helped him make it to where God had him to go. He did it with his words, just speaking life to him. That's every single person that we come in contact with. It's almost as much of a crime to say nothing as it is to say the wrong words. Are we, the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. How on point are we? And I'm not talking about blowing smoke towards anyone. I'm telling you, just like my sister was like the coolest person, and my dad was awesome. I talked to a lot of you. I mean, it's like, man, we got the greatest people in our church. You know what I mean? We are just blessed. Can I just tell you something? People are cool. I mean, if we would stop to take the time to get to know each other, you know what I mean? People are valuable. That's why Jesus died for them. And we need to begin to see things like God sees things. Do you hold people as valuable as he does? And is that just words, or can we see that in your life? You know what? That you're pausing and taking a moment with someone. That you're actually on point with your spirit each day, that we can speak life to people. I want to give you the acronym for the THINK. I was telling the morning service, I think we really will have t-shirts. I'm not kidding. I think this is a good thing. I think that if we would change our mouth, wherever, maybe your mouth is really good as far as what not to do, but maybe you're not so on point of speaking life to people. Whatever it is, you know what, that we would just really up our game in this area. It is an area that every one of us, I am quite sure, could change and be a lot more pleasing to God. The T in THINK, is it true? And truth being the Word of God. See, because when Drew's friend was saying, hey, now there's a man of God, you know, Drew would say, well, that's not really true. Wait a minute. Is it true? Because God formed him and planned a purpose in his mother's womb. What is truth? Truth is what God says is truth. So is it true? The H, is it helpful what you're about to say? The I, is it inspiring? Is what you're about to put out there, is it going to be inspiring to someone? This is a great one for all of us. God help us. The N. Give me an N. Is it necessary? Woo! We just go and go and go. Hello. Sometimes we just need to zip it, lock it, and put it in our pocket, right? It's just not necessary to be said. We just blah. And then the K, is it kind? Think before you speak. Wouldn't that be great if we could all just, like, wherever we're at, just up our game royally on that? I think so. The Bible says that there should be no coarse jesting. There's another one. It's talking about our mouth. Joking. Just joking. Don't do what the Bible says. And you know what it is? We've just spoke death, really. Start backtracking it. Start analyzing. You just spoke some death. And then you're going, just kidding. Can you kid with speaking death? Can you does just kidding like cover it up and turn it into life? No. But we pretend like it does, as we are just careless with the power that God's given us. And we need to be way more on point. Can I pray over you that the Spirit of God would quicken us with the things that we say with our mouth? Amen. That we would become so on point with who God has created us to be with our mouth. That we would be life speakers. There isn't anyone in this room that I could not sincerely approach you and say something to you that is just truth. Even right down to God's word. To just encourage us in God's word. We need to grab hold of this, church. This is big, what God is doing here. B people just, even strangers, you know what you could see, very impactful, as they're just on point with life. Imagine life would be like totally huge and how much we could just like snuff out the death that's going on if we would just pull people towards the Lord with our mouth. Amen. Father, thank you for every ear that is in this room. Father, I thank you that we know that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, one of his jobs is to convict us. Father, I pray right now that every ear that is hearing, that you're ministering to us right now, convicting us of words that we're saying that shouldn't be said, or words that we're not saying that should be said. I thank you, Lord, that as we leave here today, we leave here changed, because we will be people who will think before we speak, that we will be people who will become way more like you, that the words that come from our mouth will be truth, sincere, honest, edifying, kind, and hopeful, that we would bring the attributes of who you are to people as we come across them in our day. Father, I thank you for what you're doing in this church and in every individual life that is here. We give you glory and honor and praise, for you are such a good and worthy God. Thank you for every testimony that's been shared today and for their willingness to just open up and share their lives with us, that Satan would be defeated in other people's lives as we see and become encouraged with hope. We give you glory and honor and praise for this day and for your son, Jesus. Amen. 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 Amen.